Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice.
From the Call to Worship broadcast archives.
The whole world was lost in the darkness of sin. The light of the world is Jesus. Like sunshine at noonday, His glory shone in. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light. 'Tis shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus. John tells us of that, but he also tells us that the darkness comprehended not the light. God has given Christ and His love, but He also needs to give His Holy Spirit before we're willing to do, as we here read, "Come to the light, 'tis shining for thee." Listen as it's sung. Reading from Colossians chapter 3, once again, verse 17 of the third chapter. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. I mentioned last week that Paul does not give place for divorce. He tells us to love our wives, wives to submit to husbands, over and over. We read it here, we read it in the letter to the Ephesians. Some might say, but what about Corinthians? Doesn't Paul give place there? And the answer really is no. He does describe it, but it's not in permission, it's in disobedience. Listen as we also read from 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. Clear command. But, and if she depart, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. But to the rest speak I, not the Lord, if any brother have a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman which hath an husband that believeth not, if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband, else were your children unclean, but now they are holy. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us to peace. For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? And what knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? Let's give thanks for these words and pray for understanding of them and obedience to them. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ Jesus, giving thanks in his name. As Paul could tell us in that letter to the church at Colossae, which is really thou, Father, telling us through the pen of Paul, that whatever we do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to thee, the Father, by him. And we pray, Father, in his name that we might be able to do that we might have the Spirit of Christ. You've told us by the pen of Paul also that if any man have not his Spirit, that we are none of his. Lord Jesus, thou hast said, without me you can do nothing. Help us to know it in all things, in word or deed, in every thought, and not just when we want something of our kingdom, but that we may want thy kingdom to come, that we may want thy will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, especially in our own lives, that we may want thy name to be hallowed and not our own. Take us away from our pride. Take us away from wanting to be recognized, even as the apostles for so long, arguing who was the greatest. We pray that we might come to that place as they did, after thy ascension, Lord Jesus, to be in one accord, in one place in prayer and supplication. We pray that thy prayer might be answered in our time, that we will be made one, that the world will know that thou, Father, hast sent Christ. We know that the world does not see that now. We know that even part of the church does not see that in other parts of it, many thinking that they are right and others are wrong because of all the divisions outside of each one. And we pray, Father, that we might see together how wrong we are, especially how weak we are, how wrong we are in regard to marriage and divorce and all the broken homes, the hundreds, the thousands, the half of the homes broken, sadly. Many in the church, as well as in the world, literally in every church, we have them. And we confess, Father, of our sinfulness, our weakness, as Paul could say to the Corinthians, that there is division among you. And it was there amongst the people, but here we have it in the saddest of places, in the home so much. And Father, we know that in years past it was not that way to the extent it is today. And we pray for homes to recognize the sin that it is to be broken, the sin it is not to love our wives, and the sin it is for wives not to submit to their husbands, We pray that what thou would send thy Spirit to apply thy word to us, to open our hearts to it, that we will not continue in hardness of heart. We pray, Father, for the church to be taught, and that it may be on the side of truth and not on the side of lies, and sometimes promoting the lie. And, Father, we know the sadness of it, the terribleness of it. As thou hast said, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And we know that one of the foundations thou hast given is the home. We know that the church is the pillar and ground of the truth, and we pray that the church might again teach thy word concerning homes. We pray, Father, for other needs also, for the sick, that they might be healed, the injured, that they might also be healed. We pray for those that will have to go through life in weakness and pain, that thou would give them the grace to bear under it, teach them the peaceable fruits of righteousness through it. We pray especially for those that will soon die because of their illness, that they might be prepared through Christ. Pray for those in hunger, those homeless, the war-torn lands, the persecuted, and the many others suffering. Especially we pray for the women that are taken captive by the evil forces, many of them in the terribleness of not only the Islamic, but through our own nation, the many captured, the many taken as slaves and made sex slaves and being sold. And as I've heard yet today, Father, that the thousands and millions throughout the world are in such a condition, we pray for them that it might be recognized, that it might be dealt with by governments and by church, by homes, by all society. We pray for them, Father, and all through Christ, that will give us the answer in Him. Amen. Continuing these words of Paul to the church, we saw them last week. We saw also Paul's words to the Ephesians, even more in detail than we have here in the letter to the Colossians, both of them giving us very plain language. The Ephesians, equally plain. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." A little earlier in the 5th chapter, the 21st verse, "Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." If we claim to be children of the Lord, then He must be Lord of our life. We must submit to His word. Christ said, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." And sadly, He said it to those who were not His sheep. He said, "But you are not of my sheep. You don't hear my word." Much of the church is not hearing the word of God. When we think of about half of our homes broken, we've had them in our church. I know they're in other churches. We have them in our families. Sadly, too close. Give thanks that there's not more, and pray that there won't be. We pray that even those that are broken will be reconciled. And where they cannot be reconciled, they'll be forgiving one another. We need that in time, or how terrible it will be in eternity when the judgment day comes, when there has not been forgiveness. Christ made it very plain after the prayer that He gave, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive those that are indebted to us." And He gives an added word to that prayer, that if we don't forgive, neither will we be forgiven. Another place He tells us that if we have faith, we can say to this mountain, "Be removed." Then He also brings out the need of forgiveness. If you have aught against any, forgive them. We evidently can't have an unforgiving heart and have faith to remove mountains. That may be the reason why there's not more mountains removed. The mountains of sin, the mountains of many different things that are in our lives, that we see troublesome, we see fearsome. Even today, some mail inviting to meetings that dealt with troubles, problems. One of the areas spoke of being sick. Another area was losing a job. And then another area was divorce. Having to deal with divorce in the church. One of the many problems of troublesome things that this seminar was going to put on, dealing with other disappointments as well, but having to deal with divorced people in the church. I know of churches where they have a whole class for divorced women. And sadly, I've known of women that have went there and have been, I'm afraid, made too much to feel at ease, and even told their husbands if they wouldn't leave the other church where they had been a part of and come to that one, they would not continue with them. Church, as it were, catering to those divorced instead of calling them to repentance, calling them to submit to your husbands. And the one I know and thinking of was the one that was guilty in adultery and then yet wanted to lay down the law, the rulings for her husband, what he had to do. And the church evidently leading in that. We have very plain words by Paul, if we would but heed them. And again, some think that this gives permission for divorce. Some say that if a woman departs from the house and there is forsaking, that then there's a right for divorce. And some would say, well, this confession says that. And some claim the Westminster Confession gives place for that. Well, if it does, it's not scriptural. There's another confession quite similar to the Westminster Confession, that is the London Confession. That does not leave that part in it. Is different than the Westminster on that area, and certainly should be. Listen to what Paul says. It says here that if the unbelieving depart, a brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us to peace. Some would say, well, they're not under bondage, they can get remarried. That isn't what it says. I believe that when it says, if the unbelieving husband or depart, or the unbelieving wife, that the man is in bondage to keep struggling, to keep fighting, to keep her in the house. When it talks about the woman here, if she first is commanded not to depart, let not the wife depart from her husband. Very clear. Nothing in the context that would change it. It does say, but, and if she depart, if she is disobedient to God, disobedient to the word, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. You think that Paul is then going to write a little later and say it's all right for the husband to be married? What if he would get married and she would want to be reconciled to her husband? What would that do? If the woman is not to be remarried, to stay unmarried, certainly, shouldn't the husband also have the same command from God, remain unmarried? I've known people that have got divorced over spiritual things, and both remained unmarried through life. It was sad, but better than further disobedience of remarrying, and as Christ himself says, recorded in Luke and Mark, that if they remarry, whoever remarries her commits adultery. Very plain. Some want to just ignore that. Even some commentators, they say, well, go to what I wrote in Matthew, as if that is different. That doesn't disannul what Christ is saying there so plainly in the Gospel of Mark, the Gospel of Luke, or what Paul, who is the witness of Christ, is saying here. Another thing, if there would be remarriage, or there would be, as I mentioned last week, the third party. Sadly, wrongly, very wrong. How would this then be fulfilled? In verse 16, for what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Do you think if a wife was remarried that she would have a love to his salvation? Wouldn't she think if she was remarried that what if he would be saved and would want to come back to me? What a problem I'd have. No. Being remarried. Or the other, how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? If they would each remain unmarried, and the wife or husband had left because they were unbelieving, and that's what rid of the situation is here. It's not believers leaving, it's unbelievers. And if you've left, are you an unbeliever? You must be, if you've left your wife, if you've left your husband. As we said last week, even there's one exception, fornication. That's the word God uses. Many times he uses the word fornication and adultery in the same verse, the same sentence. And many want to say, well, they mean the same thing. Well, if you're going to stretch the word and stretch the scripture, you might want to come to that conclusion. But I'm not so sure that you're right. I think it's better to stay on the safe side, that if God uses both words, even in the same place, describing fornication, describing adultery, fornication, we, I believe, rightly think of as wrong sexual relationships before marriage or unmarried. And adultery, the wrong sexual relationships for the married. And I believe that is where the two words are rightly understood. As we said, Joseph was one that is an example of thinking that Mary was guilty of fornication, was going to put her away privately, was going to do it in a very humble and a very loving way. But then God told him what was really the situation, that what Mary was conceived with, the Holy Spirit, in other words, Jesus, the Son of God, would be born of the Virgin Mary, and was born of the Virgin Mary. And that's what we must believe. Everyone must believe that he, the creator of the world, he who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, took on him the form of a man. Later, he was even told by wicked Jews, we weren't born of fornication, as if he was, John chapter 8. And they were, as he said, you are of your father the devil, and the works of your father he will do. Christ said he was a liar, he was a murderer. And certainly Satan is that. And those that are under the influence of Satan do his works, lying, murdering, and many other sins as well. As I said last week, and some might think, well, Paul here does speak of divorce. No, he doesn't. He speaks of those that wrongly leave, but he doesn't speak of divorce. He just says, let her remain unmarried. The husband, let not the husband put away his wife. If she leaves, the husband is not to go to court and say, well, I'm going to put her away legally. We have today in both the church and the nation easy divorce. I never knew it till just recently, but one of our former presidents, one of our better presidents, one of our conservative presidents made that a law in California when he was governor to have no fault divorce. He was guilty of that. And he said later that was one of his worst decisions, that he was guilty of leading the nation in no fault divorce. How thankful we can be that he knew his guilt in it and knew that it was wrong, even though he did a wrong thing and led the nation to it. And many of those things begin, sadly, in California and then spread over the nation. And there's much there today to pray for of what we pray and plead will not spread over the nation in the rebellion that is there, in the schools, in the different places. Awfulness of it. And here we have rebellion in the home. Everyone that disobeys these words, let not the wife depart from her husband, is in rebellion against her husband, in rebellion against God. Yes, there might be a time when there has to be a clause of separation for protection when there's danger in the home, that the wife may have to be protected from being abused or injured, but that's different. There is such a place in court for separation, but that is different than divorce. It is but temporary. It is but a protection, and there can be a protection so that the husband is not even allowed in the home if there is a danger of physical or mental injury. But that is different, and certainly we have to recognize that, and that can be used. But it is not what many want to make it and use it as an excuse. I'll leave this part and come back to Paul's word in Colossians. What knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? That should be the attitude of every wife that has an unbelieving husband. Where there is even guilt, might even be a believing husband that needs to be saved from present sin. And the same thing, what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? And what knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? It is equal for both. I would say, again, that would rule out any permission for remarriage. And let's not think that a brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, not to continue to try to keep them in the house. It says, if the unbelieving wife or the unbelieving husband be pleased to dwell with her, let him do that. And I've known of churches that have even said to husbands, if your wife doesn't agree with this church, divorce her. Terrible. That is not the scripture. That's putting our church in a very wrong place, above God, worshiping ourself, as if we are so righteous that if they depart from us, we don't have to recognize them. This is not scripture. There are people that have been divorced that have blamed their church for bringing that in their home and urging that or allowing that. I've had people come in my study right here and said, well, a pastor, an elder, said our marriage relationship wasn't good. When they told us, we looked at each other and didn't know it. It's terrible if the church is at fault, if the church is in self-righteousness. And often it was with the Pharisees, the scribes, and still is today. I hope it's not very much. I hope it's not very often. But if it is once, it's too many. Too many for the judgment day coming. We will be judged by our words, as Christ said very plainly. Matthew chapter 12, we read there, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. That's for myself, preaching this word. It must be true, or I'll be condemned. The warning is there. If the blind lead the blind, they will both fall in the ditch. Not one, but both. Beware that we aren't the blind leaders of the blind. Beware if you are guilty of following the blind, the end will be the ditch. And hopefully it'll be recognized before it's too late. And how terrible, terrible, terrible is the ditch of divorce, the ditch of going to the courts instead of going to God in repentance, going to God asking for forgiveness, going to God asking that your mate will be saved, going to God and praying the church will be made right, that it won't be a salt that have lost its savor. When we hear of the children being killed in the schools, we hear of government, we hear of psychologists. Unless the murder is in the church, we don't even hear the church in the schools. Not recognized. Why? Partly because of what the church is allowing in the home, the broken homes. How many of these murderers may be from troubled homes that need God's grace in Christ? The light of the world is Jesus. Oh, do you have it?
To God be the glory.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, visit their website at calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship, sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord.